I hit the button. Let me hear your sound test. Say something clever. I need to test the levels.
Okay. Hey, Dad, give me a light.
Here you go, Joey.
That sounded good. It came through. I like. Tell me how this sounds. The sound circled out of sight behind the four horizons. As the relic stood high atop a hill, as bare as his body, he... Does that sound good?
Yeah, I almost wanted you to finish it.
Yeah. Not going to. Not today.
Turn that down a little bit for me, Jason. That's blasting in my face.
You know, it's really good on the thing here, so go ahead.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome one and all, probably just one, to another episode of Just Be Cousins. My name is Joe Neal, and with me in the virtual studio is Jason Mark.
Yo.
Who is an upstanding citizen, honest, hardworking father, and a prostitute.
The timing was almost perfect.
Did I not get it that time?
No, that's not your fault, though. We got a lot of stuff going over the bandwidth, over the throughput, over the megahertz and the gigs. Lots.
One day we'll work it out.
No, I doubt that.
How you doing, Jason?
Good, 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 good. I forgot to take my medication this morning. Remembered only a few hours ago, and I shouted, "Oh, crap." And my son, who was in my arms, shouted back at me, "Oh, crap." And it was a real good father-son moment, you know what I mean?
You got to remember to take your medication.
I do.
As the third best Taco Bell manager in Davenport, Idaho, Iowa. Where do I live, Jason?
You live in Davenport, Idaho.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, as a Taco Bell manager, I advise you to take your medicine as prescribed.
Yeah, the problem is I take medication for forgetfulness. So, you see what I'm up against.
Well, what do you want to do? Start with a funny story? What are we talking about today?
I think we're going to talk about relations. Whoa, that is really loud. Sorry. Familial relations. We're going to talk about what happens when you give a little girl a pet chick. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about...
That story again.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
When little girls sit on chicks.
When little girls sit on chicks.
Well, yeah. All right. I'll stop dancing around it. The fact is, I don't know, 20 episodes ago or something like that, we
something
had
like that.
An episode where we had your father on the show. We talked about my
Wait,
father.
We had your uncle on, right?
My
oh, that
uncle,
is my
yes.
That is my father. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Happens to be, yes,
yeah,
your father.
Okay.
And it was all about uncles and dads, and we figured one day maybe we would have your uncle on the show, and then
how about
we would tell some stories about my uncle. It's all very confusing, but the plan is going as planned, and that's redundant.
I think that makes sense, actually. Everything you said, except for the part where you were talking. Is your uncle – where is – okay, is it – who's dad? Ah, screw it. Should we bring him in? Because I don't know what's happening. I am completely lost.
Thing is, we have no show without him, so I think we just need to just hit it. Now, we've chosen some intro music. Let's hear that. I can't
okay.
wait for it.
Let me turn down the other music, and then I'll bring up the...
Walk me through it.
Here we go.
Kill the wabbit,
kill the
wabbit.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dougie, Leon, Daryl. Say hello, Dad.
Hello, Dad.
All right. See, we're getting vaudevillian.
Vaudevillian. I like that.
All the way. So
Wasn't vaudevillian a bad guy in Batman? Comics, vaudevillian, vaudevillian. Heyo. Anyway,
that's a super vaudevillian.
Yeah. The hell's going
right,
on?
You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Usually, Dad, when Jason starts playing Looney Tunes shit, he loses control of it, and all of a sudden, there's like boing, 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 and like gunshots and bombs and shit going off for the rest of the show. So maybe we'll that's kind of a treat.
Yeah. This is the professional level quality you get when it's two jerks spread across a country making a podcast just to delight each other and no one else.
So there's plenty of stories to tell, I'm sure. But what did you have in mind? Did you have questions to ask Dad, or did you, you know, last time we had your dad talk about my dad, and I thought it was fucking hilarious, honestly. I'm sure Dad has quite a few stories about your dad.
That was actually 15 episodes ago. Uncle Daryl, did you – wait, what's your name? Is it Uncle Leon Darylage?
That's a good nickname.
Uncle Doug, it doesn't matter.
Just call him Uncle Daryl, you know?
Yeah.
That's.
I would respond to that.
You guys want to use a fake name like Uncle Daryl then? We can use a fake name.
We're going to use a pseudonym.
Fake, yeah.
Okay.
I'll try to respond when you say Daryl.
Okay. Uncle Daryl. Just Uncle Daryl. Absorb that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to ask Uncle Daryl if you have listened to any of the episodes.
I listened to the one where my brother was on.
Okay. That was 15 episodes.
And I agree.
Ago.
It was funny. It was funny.
Well, do you have – let's just jump right in. Do you have any stories about him that you would like to share? I know I'm putting you on the spot there, but hopefully you've been drinking.
Well, you know your father. Actually, the only stories that he knows is the ones he tells on me. And so I have no stories about him. I just tell him stories, and then he tells stories that I tell him. So that's really the only relationship we've ever had.
That makes sense to me.
Don't know your dad.
One of the things I wanted to touch on is that some of the stories that your father told – I've heard you, Dad, tell me the same story, and there were marked differences. And it seems to me that Dan takes artistic liberty.
He's a lying bastard, yeah.
Oh.
That is correct.
That's a good reframe.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So here, let me bring one up that I thought was – let me try to reframe this. I was going to say suspicious.
Suspicious.
But I just want to hear it from a different perspective, from the man that was there. Do you remember this story, Jason? This is how it went, basically. Let me kind of sum it up. There was a truck full of bombs, and the bombs – or there was a crate being lifted or something, and a bunch of bombs fell out and were clinking and clanking, and they all kind of settled into a corner, and everybody thought they were going to die, and then – and then everybody was cool, and they just went on with their day. Something seemed wrong about it. Maybe it seemed like that's not how bombs work or something. I'm not sure.
No, that's not how people work. Not everybody was cool. There was one guy that was not very cool about it, and my brother, when he tells a story, it was like, you know, well, I built bombs, you know, for a living there for a while. You know, I screwed the fuses on the end. I was also a dud checker. You know, and luckily I never found a live one. It was, you know, it was really risky business, but, you know, but the way my brother tells it, you know, the bombs fall off the dock, you know, everybody's waiting to die, but because we're all in the business, you know, we just kind of look up and go, oh shit, you know, and then we just go on with our business. And that's the way it was for most of the people on the scene, except for the new guy, me. And when I looked up and saw Class A explosives falling from a height, I hit the deck. I was in the fetal position crying. And waiting.
Only a real man will weep and then tell the story with the weeping as a part of the tale.
Yeah, weeping was part of it. And then, you know, when nothing happened, you know, I just uncover my eyes and look around and, you know, a lot of the guys that have been around for a while they're kind of laughing at me, and you know, and I have to get up and go, yeah, I knew that, you know, I'm being cool afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I pulled that off, but that's the real story. You know? So my brother does kind of taint it. I think he gets on my favor sometimes, you know. So you got to be careful.
He didn't mention the weeping.
No, he did not, and it happened. Believe me.
I know that you probably didn't have like a, you weren't fully. In possession of all of your faculties, but I gotta wonder if there's a bunch of bombs falling. I mean, these are built to kill more than just a few people in a few square foot area. I'm assuming that
I saw that movie, Built to Kill.
Yeah. Built to Kill. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what these bombs are, for Christ's sake.
They are built to kill.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Okay, so they're built dropped
to kill many people.
Yeah, not just people that happen to be nearby. So I'm just wondering, you know, if I saw a bomb that was a few feet away from me and it was falling down, my thought would be, no matter what I do, I could put myself in any position at all, and I'm still, I think the technical term is fucked. So I'm just wondering, you know, is it just instinct? You're just like, go fetal and hope? Because
this is a great – I'm glad you brought up instincts and reflexes and stuff because when bombs fall and, you know, once you are into that experience, you will go immediately into the fetal position.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Right, right.
It's just a reflex.
But the other guys didn't. So ostensibly what bombs are dropping are clinking all the time. It's just part of the business.
Yeah, it's actually like they knew how they worked and I didn't.
I see. So it wasn't a function of them – not going off the way they should. It was a function of, no, they're not supposed to go off when you drop them from a few feet.
They're really hard to go off. You got to go out of your way. You know, like arm them and, you know, drop them from a plane.
You made me realize something just when it comes to fear. So a lot of those people were not afraid because they realized, no, these bombs aren't going to fucking explode. They don't work that way. But if you think a bomb is going to go off, there's a big problem. Yeah. There's a biological reflex. Problems. And that's why I was reading this thing the other day about most people in wars, most people don't do anything. They lock up in fear and that's it. And really only the sociopaths or people that have been brainwashed charge the fucking field.
Okay.
That's right.
You learned that in Taco Bell school?
I can't even remember where I heard that. But, you know, like Donald Trump, I heard it somewhere.
I see. Okay? I got
you. Just fucking believe it.
Well, let me ask you this question, Uncle – what are we calling him again?
Daryl.
Thank you.
Uncle Daryl.
Uncle Daryl. Let me ask you this question then. Couldn't you save a lot of money just by, like, walk into a city with a bomb and, like, a hammer and say, hey, enemy, and then start pounding on the bomb and you know it's not going to go off, but they're all like, oh, geez, this guy's crazy.
Scares the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, we better lay down arms. And no?
Well, actually, I kind of pulled off that trick. It wasn't in a big city or anything.
Okay.
But, about 6 years later, you know, after I actually learned how bombs work, we had some visitors at the bomb dump where I worked, and this was actually...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you say bomb dump?
A bomb dump. That's a bomb dump is where they dump the bombs.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's, where you store. That's Jason's toilet.
Yeah. Which is a whole nother hazard.
It is, yeah. Yeah, Joe works at Taco Bell. I eat at Taco Bell.
If I were in the same room, I would go into a fetal position and cry.
That's how I usually dump myself, yeah. But please continue, sorry.
So true. But anyway, so we have these visitors that came to where I worked, which is the bomb dump or the storage area for the munitions. And I was working on these smaller bombs, you know, you could actually hold them in one hand. They were for practice, and they didn't do a whole lot of damage, you know, but they make noise and smoke and everything. But they look like funny little bombs, and they look like bombs.
Like cartoon bombs.
Like cartoon bombs, yeah.
With, like, fins on the back.
But we had a visitor that was like me before that knew nothing, and I knew that. And so I walked up with one in each hand, and I just slammed them together. Right in front
what
of him.
Asshole.
Oh, total asshole. And guess what happened? The same thing. That guy went into the fetal position, and he cried.
There it is.
And he cried.
Biological. It's biological.
There's nothing you can do.
All right.
But this segues really well into a story I want to tell, because I was not always a bomb builder.
No.
Oh, my God. See, I can't wait. I knew that once he got rolling, like, we'd really be onto something. But I have to break for a moment.
No. Oh, no. What?
Because, all right, now sometimes Jason doesn't realize it, but he's mouthing his microphone. It sounds like he's giving his microphone a fucking blowjob.
Who, me?
It sounds terrible. You're doing fine right now, but Dad, who's new at this, is emphatically banging on the fucking table. Oh.
You should see me here.
Look,
I'm out of control.
What I did was I took the two bombs and I smashed them together. Geez. The motherfucker couldn't handle them. He went to a fetal position. He started crying.
Yeah, it's coming through. You guys are foleying this up. No, it's all good.
That's the thing. Part of this podcast, Ed, is we go behind the scenes, and that is we talk about how we make the podcast during the podcast.
Okay, you guys are completely cutting out. I can't hear you at all now. So you must have just bumped your way into oblivion.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, good. And I'm sure there's a bomb joke in there somewhere, but
probably.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Just real quick, because I want to get back to Dad's story, but we just heard a huge bang on the wall. Dad's wife, my stepmom, and my wife are in the next room, and I feel like they're trying to fuck with us.
That's two people, not three, right?
Yes, yes, that's
okay.
That's
two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can't see commas on podcasts. So anyway,
I'm always learning. Okay.
Always,
it's audio. It's audio. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jason, don't blow your microphone. Dad, don't bang on the table. And where were we with your wonderful story? Because that was great.
Wait, I got to get my hands in my pockets.
Yeah, that's right. Sit on your hands.
All right.
Yeah,
no, I want you to wave your hands around.
Yeah, no. Pretend you're in the champagne room. Sit on your hands.
Oh, the champagne room.
That's right.
Oh, that was a great lunch today, wasn't it, Jim? Okay. Well, anyway, I had many professions.
Yes. Yeah.
Right now, I'm into shaved ice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going well for me.
Not snow cones?
Hell no. That's not real. That's not shaved ice. That's cheap. That's the cheap stuff.
Okay.
If you want to go and sell, you know, cold, refreshing treats, you want to go shaved ice. But that's all another story altogether. It's another story. I was, before that, I was an electrician.
Aha!
And it reminded me about reflexes and what you do, you know, when something wrong happens. You ever seen anybody that, you know, a bee is around and they start swatting it, you know, and then they fall down the stairs and kill themselves?
I've not seen that.
I've seen that.
But I would love to.
Yes. You know, a bee comes by pretty close, gets scared. They just throw a fit, their hands go waving, they get uncoordinated, and they die. And not from the bee sting, just from their reflexes. You know, like getting in the fetal position. Yeah. Shit happens.
Anyway, you have to, that's yet another story. Yeah, if you saw somebody die falling down the stairs after waving around at a bee,
yeah,
maybe tell that story later. But this is about reflex.
Yes, reflex.
You're an electrician?
Yeah, I'm an electrician, and I'm working in this house. And I need, and being an electrician has nothing to do with electricity. It's getting a wire of any size from point A to point B. And this particular point A to point B had to go through an attic to an outside wall. And so I'm up in the attic, and of course the outside wall is where the roof angles down, you know, to that wall. And so, you know, you get in the attic, you're standing, and then you got to get down on your belly, and then you've got this wire, and you're reaching across to try to get to the outside wall. There's no room. And I don't know if anybody's been in construction, but these roofers that put roofs on the shingles on roofs, mm-hmm. they use these nails that are way too big. And they drive them through the shingles and through the wood, and they stick all the way through. And, you know, and when I'm down there and my head is kind of wedged in there, I kind of raised up and I stuck a nail in my head.
Jesus.
And I don't know if you've ever had a nail stuck in your head, but it makes kind of a crunching noise, like crunches. And I don't know if it's going through hair or scalp, but it's very annoying. And, of course, your reflex is to get away from the nail. You get away from the nail. So I did. I jerked violently down away from the roof and hit my forehead on a 2x4.
Wow.
That did not make the crunching noise, but that hurt as well.
Yeah.
And so I jerked up from that and immediately stuck the nail in my head again. That happened several times, several times. And it was painful in both ways. You know, it was kind of an equal pain. And so the reflex action was working very well. And I noticed during this process that I was going to die from just beating my head on the 2x4 and sticking a nail in my head back and forth way too many times.
And eventually somebody would have found your corpse with your head hanging from a nail.
From a nail. And that's exactly right, Joey, because I knew I had to pick one or die. Which pain could I handle and not reflex from? So, you know, time standing still. At the moment of death, everything slows down, just to let you know. So I'm thinking it while my head's jerking back and forth from the nail to the 2x4 and the nail. And I go, okay, let's just go with the 2x4. When I hit it, I'm going to be okay with that. And then I'll stop.
Stay there.
Stay there.
On the board.
Stay on the board.
Not on the fucking nail.
Exactly. Exactly. So I went through the nail. It stuck me in the head again. And okay, here's my chance. Here's my chance to live. And then I hit the 2x4, and I just played like I was the Karate Kid or something. I just wanted to break. I wanted to go through the 2x4. So I just foreheaded it, went in and stayed on it. And I went, oh, God, that feels so good. That's so good. And I never did get the wire over there because, you know, there were some wounds that I had to tend to. But that's just a reminder, you know, when you get in these situations, you got to remain calm. You really do. You can't mess around.
See,
wow.
Yeah. My dad told me that story.
And how did he tell? I'm sure there was a different version.
In his version, it's just like the bomb version. He said that you were there and you were reaching out, like you said, and then you jerked into the nail. It went through your head, through your eye, and then at that point, you're like, I know that my instinct is going to be to jerk down. And I also know that when I jerk, it's like your life flashed before your eyes, but not the life you had led, the life you were going to lead is flashing before your eyes. Not both eyes, because one's got a nail through it, one eye. So your life is about, the life you're about to have is flashing through one eye, and you're thinking to yourself, I know that I'm going to jerk down in pain, so what I need to do is I need to, just like you said, Karate Kid through the board. And that you did, and you went through it, just like in Karate Kid 2 when Mr. Miyagi, you know, threw the log and saves the guy who was his enemy, and now they're friends. Well, they were friends and then enemies, and now they're friends again. And what were we talking about? So let me finish. The finish was, though, that's what I'm saying. You went through, and as a result of going through, you were able to get the wire where you needed to go.
Oh, so
wow, that was a better story. That's a better story. I like that one.
Well, Dad, you actually prefaced this. In Dan's versions of the story, Dad seems to have more dignity.
Yes.
Or he's more successful, at least.
Yeah, I am more successful in his stories.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
Like, you broke the fucking board with your head, and that's after having a nail stick all the way through your skull, pop your fucking eyeball out from the back. Then you jerked your head completely off of this 9-inch nail, and smashed your head through the board like the Karate Kid, which allowed you to get through and actually connect the wire.
I'm going to tell that story that way from now on.
Yeah,
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah.
I have one more little electrician joke that has nothing to do with electricians being electrical. But, you know, you work on job sites and there's these porta potties out there, you know, with the, you know, and it's the middle of the winter. And, you know, it's really funny because you have all these clothes on because you want to survive the day and there's no heat in these buildings, you know, and you're working your butt off. And, you know, and I've got, you know, I got 4 inches of clothes around my body and a 2-inch dick, you know, and it's really a problem to go to the bathroom. You know, you're going to piss on your clothes if you don't get them off. You know, it's just bad. Well, but anyway, so I was one day I was walking by this building and I saw water shooting out of the side of this house I was working on. And I go, what the hell is that? There's not even any water in the house yet. It's too, you know.
There's no plumbing. There's no water supply.
There's no plumbing. Where in the hell is the water coming from? Well, I walk up there a little bit closer. And I kind of stand back and I turn around and it was a door and the guy I was working with had his dick hanging through the door because it was cold outside and he was just pissing through the hole where the knob should go on the door, which wasn't installed.
The knob was not installed and so he placed his penis through the hole
and pissed through there. And I'm outside freezing my ass off trying to take a piss and he's just smiling through the window of the door with his dick hanging out of the doorknob hole. You know, he goes, you know, you're an idiot. You know, this is how you do it.
You know what? I have a couple things to say.
Real quick, my dad told me that story too, except in his version.
Jason, I have a feeling you're going to steal my thunder here, but I think you deserve to. Here, maybe we've got two different things in mind. There's a couple things. When Dad said 4 inches
of clothing,
yeah.
Once he said 4 inches, I knew that. By the end of that sentence or the next sentence, he would say the word dick.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I was just like,
you saw it coming.
4 inches of clothing. And I was like, somehow he's going to work dick into this. And he goes,
right.
And only 2 inches of dick. And I was like, that's the fucking storytelling. And then I was like, this is a foreshadowing. There's more dick in this story.
It's a foreskinning is what it is.
In this story.
Oh, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Now,
And in my dad's version, it's 2 inches of clothing, 4 inches of dick. So that's really the only difference, honestly.
And he gave,
there it is.
Yeah.
Dan,
two, eight, 2 inches I didn't deserve.
Two extra inches of cock for Dad in Dad's version of the story.
Yep.
I imagined if Dan told the story, you would have seen, you know what?
Who? If who would have told the story?
I call him Dan. Lee Daniels.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's his nickname.
When he was on the
show. Brother?
Yeah, your brother.
Okay. Yeah, Lee Daniels.
I call him Dan because it made me laugh because his name is Lee Daniels, and he said that his grandfather used to call him Daniels.
That's
so
right,
I've
been
calling him Dan lately.
Was his grandmother? Never mind.
Yeah, we can go into that later. Okay, look, I'm just saying. Now, fuck you, Dan. This is my version of the story. I see water. Dad sees water coming out of the side of a house, and he walks around. He does. There's no more water. I don't know. So he tries to open the door. Boom.
Boom. I got a.
He's twisting six inches of dick because it's not. It's neither 2 nor 4.
No, I worked with real men. It was an 8-inch.
The other guys had real cocks. Anyway, he's twisting the cock. The door didn't open, but there was a smiling guy through the window.
And everybody wins. Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody.
It's sort of like a construction urinary glory hole horror movie story tale.
Oh. Well,
thank you for summing it up.
And there you go, the glory hole. I've got that story too.
Oh my God,
I do.
Brilliant.
I do. I have another story for you guys. That's what I'm here
Jason,
for, right?
We don't have to fucking do anything.
No, you don't.
No.
I'm on this. It was the same week, below zero temperatures. I had to not take a piss this time, so it was not dick related. But I had to take a shit.
Ah.
I had to take a shit bad.
Yeah. Jason, can you tell? Hey, listener. Ian, can you tell that this is my dad? He stopped telling a story about a dick, but he's moving on. He's getting creative. He's branching out. And it's time for a shit story.
It's time for shit. It's the best shit story that you'll ever hear. And believe me, it's true. I am not making this up. You could not make this up. Are you ready for this statement?
Are you ready, Jason?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. So I make my way to the outside porta potty. It's 20 below out. Very cold.
4 inches close, 2 inches cock.
I'm trying to get my 4 inches off, to expose my ass this time. But, that's the way it goes. So I just go in there and I shut the door and I'm trying to work it out, to get all this crap off, so I can get down and take the shit that I need to take so bad. So I do that. I finally get down. Everything's down around my knees. And I sit down. And instead of taking a shit, something pokes me square in the ass. I mean, in the asshole.
Oh.
In the asshole. Oh. And it's painful and it's cold. And the reflex thing kind of took over again. And I stood up very quickly.
Yeah.
I did not make it all the way to the seat. Well, what happened, funny story, is that the porta potty had filled up about a week ago. And so the last guy to take a shit in that porta potty, he didn't quite sit down. He just kind of hovered over the hole, and he left a turd that was up above the rim.
You got stabbed in the asshole by a shit-sickle?
That's correct. You have visualized my tail. Yes.
With both of them.
Being stabbed by a shit-bird.
Exactly. I had a frozen piece of shit stuffed up my ass. And this is, and I don't know how to express my. I was demoralized. I just wanted to cry. I didn't know what to do. And then I had to take a shit, so I just piled it up on top of that other guy's.
Yeah, you did, because you're a man. You know what? If you can walk away from another man's shit sickle hitting you in the rectum, then any motherfucker who smacks a bomb in front of you, you'll be like, whatever, dude. Just smack bombs. I don't care. I've had other man's shit sickle in my ass. You can do what you want. Here, take my nipples. Just take them off. Just rip them right off. They're yours. I don't fucking care.
Before you start whining about your life, here, take this frozen shit sickle and stick it up your ass.
Yeah.
And then come back to me and tell me.
What did you say? Yeah, did you say cancer? Oh, that's funny. Did I ever tell you about the time I had a shit sickle in my ass? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, gentlemen, I'm having a great time here. Dad, you're just blasting off on all cylinders. We got dick jokes. We got bomb jokes
and shit jokes.
Legit jokes.
Nail in the back of the head joke.
Sorry,
it came up somehow. Like, this is, oh my God,
Joe. I know you're trying to segue, but I got it. Just a memory I had. Okay, not that my dad told me that story this time. I think he knew I couldn't handle it at that age. But I do remember in my youth, Uncle.
What, he tried to tell you when you were 4?
No. I remember. We're all.
There's a dick hanging out of the. Oh, wait. Let me tell you the shit stories.
Yeah. No, he didn't tell me that one. But I do remember a time in my youth when we were all as a family together for a Thanksgiving or something. And if help me remember if this is this was you. I'm pretty sure it was you. Uncle Daryl, you were trying to come up with a solution to the problem of sitting on a toilet, taking a dump, and it splashing up into your ass.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah. And so clearly this event.
It's an age-old question, by the way.
Yeah.
Quandary.
And I'm assuming the shitsicle event happened before this, but you were still like you're still very focused on that end. Like, let's you took one for the team. I'm going to use this to help humanity, right? I mean, I wish that I had realized this is what we're going to talk about when I called the guys at Larco about the ad, because they sent me something that's so completely and totally removed from any of this that it's going to be very, very lame. Because I know they've got a product that would fit that, but that's not what we're going to hear today, okay. Unfortunately. But,
hey, look, Larco, that company has a mind of its own.
They do.
You know, we just got to read the copy.
Yeah.
Well, they're not into it like we are.
No, they're not. But they do pay for the show. I didn't know, Joe, if that's where you're going with the segue that you were moving towards, because we're at about
actually,
the 30-minute mark.
There's like a mini segment, Jason, that we need to do on this show, which is, you know, we've done it probably on 15 of the 30 shows, which is, what are you drinking? And
oh, yeah.
But, so yeah, first, I'd like to ask you, Jason, what are you drinking?
Nothing. I ain't drinking nothing. Yeah. I know, I'm lame.
All right.
There's a bottle of scotch in the other room. No, nothing. There's a bottle of scotch in the other room, but I was working so hard to get the show going that I didn't even bother this time, and I feel bad because...
Do you have a damp rag that you can...
Suckle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I'm just
not
thinking of damp rags because it's like Dad and I are sitting in my garage and it's so off. Fucking hot in here. We're both sweating our balls off, which is why it is time for us to open this beer. We've got fancy beers, Jason. You would appreciate.
You'd be proud of us, man.
I would. When you say fancy,
I do remember drinking those fancy beers you found in that 100-year-old house. Remember that, Jason?
I do. Yeah.
We survived that.
We did somehow.
We did. There's pictures of that.
Yeah,
put a pin in that one, guys. Okay. I think we should talk about that one. But Dad, why don't you explain this beer?
Well, this is a nitro vanilla porter from the brewers at Breckenridge in Colorado.
Breckenridge?
Yeah, Breckenridge Brewery does that. And it's a very nice beer, Breckenridge Brewery. Right
there it is.
So, yeah.
It is nitrogen charged.
Yeah, nitrogen charge. And it says here right on the can that it is silky smooth and sensationable?
That's great. All Dad needed to do was to read the can, and he failed. It is. It is silky smooth and sessionable, which, by the way, I don't think that's a real word, and that's why my father was not able to detect it in the files of his brain.
Exactly. Sensationable sounds better to me.
It does sound better.
Actually, go with Dad's word. I thought it was better.
I like sensationable. Sensationable will be the name of today's episode. Let me write that down.
Well, hey Jason, you are a beer snob.
I am.
That sounds like... Well, at least a beer hipster. What does sessionable mean?
Yeah,
that's terminology that you can explain.
Yeah, and boy, I'm going to really sound like a jerk off. A session beer is a beer with a little bit of a lower ABV. That's alcohol by volume. And sessionable means that you can drink many of them without getting completely plowed. So you might check the can there. The ABV is probably like 4.6, 4.8, 5.2. Two at the very
most. Drink several of them without falling down and peeing your pants.
Well, we got to go buy more.
That's
okay.
Well, we have a few, but maybe
not enough.
Well, I don't know. You know, sessionable doesn't a session beer is maybe lower ABV, but at the altitude that Breckenridge is at, don't you get drunker at higher altitudes? Isn't that the way it works?
You do.
Yeah,
you do.
So it could be. I don't know what they're talking about there altogether. But
so this is,
there you go.
Dad has recommended this. He brought it to my home today. He thought I might enjoy it. So what we're going to do, because, you know, I've got the new microphone, the Yeti, and we're hopefully we're all coming through. And on this show, we're into what's called Foley art. And that is, we don't give a fuck. A lot of podcasts are like, background noises are stupid, and they make you sound stupid, and they're right. But we have a stupid podcast, so what we do is make sure that we make a bunch of sound effects. So Dad and I are going to open our beers together and then pour them into glasses and then start drinking.
Hope you enjoy this.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Is that coming through?
Yeah.
these nitro beers now. Jason, are you into nitro beers?
No, I can't stand them. But that's a taste thing, not a class thing. They're well respected, and I do know someone who likes a particular session beer, and whenever whenever she's around, did I say session? I meant to say nitro. Whenever she's around, I drink the nitros because she's got good taste. So, but no, I don't like smooth. There's the silky smooth. It's, you know, I like my beers to be rough, like a bear's paw, a bear that's been, you know, beating its wife. That's kind of beer I drink,
like,
you know?
Like that beer you served me that one time that was 30 years old and canned in lead.
Well, that's right. I want to say, we should move right into that story, but I want to say that any of our listener will know that I normally just drink Bud Light on this podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm really stepping it up this time. Sometimes if I'm falling asleep, I'll have a Bud Light and a coffee. And then you can hear, talk about Foley, you can hear Jason barf on his keyboard. Yeah. But anyway, we'll do a cheers real quick. Cheers. Thanks for being on the show. I wish you were cheersing with us, Jason.
I am. Clink. I did. Yeah, I looked it up, guys. That's a 5.4% beer, which at the altitude that Breckenridge is at, I would not call that sessionable. I'd call that be carefulable. Be careful, Robert.
There's a lot of new words I'm learning.
Actually, that's written on the can, too. Be carefulable with this beer.
I will put that in the show notes. Be carefulable.
So you guys, now look, Jason, we were up at your house, down at your house in Seattle, Texas, which is where you live.
Yep.
And you produced, I think, 5,000-year-old beer that was guaranteed to kill us all if we dared to drink it. Am I right?
Story.
Take it from the top. How does this go?
The story is not remarkable, really. All it was is that somebody in the neighborhood died, right? So we went over to his house like you do, and they were selling all of his crap. And I found in his homemade bar, like this was a basement that he had finished himself, put up the wood paneling, then knocked a hole through one of the walls and finished that, and then threw some alcohol behind it, called it his bar, and I found some cans, and they were really, really, really old, and so I took them up to the guy. I was like, you know, as a souvenir, can I buy these? And he's like, I can't, I'm not allowed to sell you alcohol, that's illegal. And I was about to make an argument about, I doubt these are alcohol, these are probably rat poison now, and he says, so just take them. And I said, yippee, and I took them home. And then when you guys showed up, I thought I would impress you by showing you these cans of, I think, Lake Tahoe brand beer from literally 1957 or something like that.
Yes. And in tin cans.
Tin sealed
cans.
In lead.
Yeah.
Sealed.
Yeah. And we, I don't know why we decided to just, you know, be men and challenge each other. So we opened one up and each took a sip, and it tasted like, you know what it tasted like? It tasted like having your ass punctured with a shit sickle. That's what it tasted like.
Oh my God, Jason. Yes. We've now been doing the show long enough to where I was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna do the frozen turd in the butt. I was gonna say, Dad, he took a sip of the beer and it looked like there was a frozen turd being stabbed into his butt. You beat me to the joke.
I did.
Good job, sir.
Yeah.
I say good job.
We're on the same wavelength here. I will completely be on a different wavelength when I read this really shitty, and I don't mean shitty in a shit sickle of the asshole way, ad. I mean in a completely different sort of, like, I'm sure, Uncle Daryl, that you have other stories. I'm hoping that there's more. I don't know why I'm saying this. I should not hope that there's more shit stories in your life. I mean,
that's occurs to me that we could probably go 2 hours for the sake of our wives, your wife, all three of our wives. We should not go for 2 or 3 hours, but we probably could. Can you explain to Dad? I think, Dad, you've only heard maybe one episode, maybe two out of 30. Shame on you. It's, again, I've said many times on the podcast, Dad is irresponsible as a parent.
Yes,
he should be listening to the work that I do. Shame on you, Dad.
And on this podcast, I do want to apologize for that, but you know, tough shit.
Yeah, Joe.
But Jason.
Joe, have you ever had a shit sickle up the ass? No? Don't complain then.
Yeah, tell me your troubles, Joe. Yeah, tell me your troubles.
So, Jason, can you explain, though, briefly to Dad, our primary sponsor, a company called Larco?
Yeah, so in Uncle Doug Sterrell's defense, sorry, I'm never going to get that right. In his defense, he's listened to one more episode than I have. So, you know, for what it's worth, he's listened to more. Half of the show is
shame on you, fucking Jason.
Shame on and me. And I don't have any shit sickle stories to defend myself with, so but Larco is a company that sponsors half our show, and then Joe goes out and gets another sponsor for the other half. So we have the one company that just throws money at us. When I say throw money, I mean it's like being hit in the face with pennies. But then Joe's finds the other one, and they Larco's just, you know, they're kind of like Acme, but like way worse, like way worse. Like Acme is sort of like a cartoony fun, a coyote wants to eat or have sex with a road runner or something, I don't know, and you know, buys an anvil. Larco is, you know, so if Acme is the anvil that the coyote buys, Larco is the sex drive of the coyote to buy the anvil. That didn't make any sense, but
that was deep.
I
was going to say, if Acme is Danny Baldwin, then Larco is Anthony Hopkins.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Neither do I, no.
Let's hear an ad.
Okay, should we do Larco first and then your ad? Is that what we do?
Yeah, we can zip right through them. Let's pay for the podcast.
Okay, let's pay for the podcast. Okay, here we go. Usually I ask Larco to theme to add to the show's theme, but they said no. They went a completely different direction, so I apologize in advance. But here
it
goes.
They do what they want.
Yeah, they do. Those jerks. Okay. I guess I'll go ahead and turn down the let me walk you through this. I'm going to turn down the guitar music. All right, here we go. It used to be that fair skin was a sign of affluence. Only drudges who toiled in a workaday heat had sun-kissed skin. But these days, the opposite is true. It's the slaves to the daily grind, the cube jockeys, the cubicle jockeys, who have the pale skin, while the browner one is, the more time they've spent in leisurely outdoor activities such as pool gazing or badminton. But what about you? You are a blood-sucking fiend. You're as pale as a 9-to-5 middle manager working deep in the bowels of Megacorp LLC. People look at you right before you rip the jugular from their necks, and they assume you've got as much wealth and therefore as much class as a factory assembly line bolt and nut tightener, a living wrench, a walking tool. And is that fair? Doesn't your dinner deserve to know how much style and grace you truly possess right before they expire, gurgling in your evil embrace? And it's not as if you can simply skip down to the beach and catch a few rays. Depending on which mythology you cater to, you'll either burst into flame, disintegrate into ash, or expire as the blood in your veins turns to stone. Or you'll sparkle. Do you really want to fucking sparkle? No, you do fucking not. What you want is Larco's patented Moontan Lotion. Grab a bottle of Larco's Moontan Lotion, and for 3 nights out of every month, you can bask in the Theban glow and watch your skin turn from a sickly white to a healthy, luxurious, yellowish orange. You'll be the envy of every Jersey Guido from Cape May to Seabright. I mean, let's face it, those juices know how to tan. Know what I'm saying? Larco's Moontan Lotion is available online, since most stores are only open in the daytime. And if you use our code at checkout, JBC, they won't bother to give you a discount or throw in any freebies because they already know you've been around for a few hundred years and have accumulated massive wealth. But order soon. There are only a few bottles left because at these prices, we don't need to sell very many to make a killing. Not, that is, like the kind of killing you're going to make, looking as good as you do right before you actually kill someone, killer. Larco's Moontan Lotion, because you only live once, even if it is for several centuries.
Okay, Jason.
Can I have two? Is there a special?
They sent me some samples. I could forward those over to you guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Sure.
Now, were they mixing it up? Here's the thing. So we did a books episode. Was that last week, Jason?
We did
books.
Yep.
Themed episode last week, and that was a lot of fun, by the way.
Nice.
And Jason and I have been reading each other's novels. This seems, because Larco tends to somehow, we don't tell them, they tend to find out what we're about to talk about. Maybe they were just a little bit off this time, because my book is a vampire book. This seems like a vampire product.
Wait a minute, it is?
Moontan Lotion? Come on.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. You're right, those guys.
Jeez.
Those guys. Awesome. Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, clearly they were inspired by whatever it is your book is about, Joe. Yeah, I'm kidding. After they sent me the ad, I read the book. I haven't read every single – I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I haven't read the whole thing, but I'm most of the way through. I don't want to give anything away to people who haven't read it, but I can tell you, Joe, just so you know where I'm at. The main character has found the offspring of the bad guy and did what he did to them. So you know where I'm at.
Well, Dad actually read my entire book, which is impressive because after a half a page, the motherfucker goes to sleep. I don't care if he's naked being blasted with a fire hose.
Or
he will go to
frozen,
sleep. Or
shit
frozen turd up sleeping. His anus. He
it's
will go
true.
To sleep.
That's right.
But he read the whole thing. And it's – look – are you enjoying the book?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. Okay, and again, cool, I don't want to cool. – I haven't finished it yet. I'm about 90% of the way through. I'm going to finish it this evening before I go to sleep. We will talk about it on another episode. But let's pay for the other half of this, Joe. Do you have an ad as well that you would like to share with the good people or person that listen to the
– I do have an ad here. Let me – I'll try not to make too much noise, but – I've never had anybody in the studio. Of course, you're always in the virtual studio with me, but
yeah.
I need to position myself so I can do this live read. Some of us aren't your run-of-the-mill remote control helicopter hobbyists. Sure, it's fun to hang out with friends and family, zipping around indoors with three-channel copters, just to laugh when they crash. But some of us take this shit very seriously, and some of us have special needs and troubling desires. For us, there's only one copter that can meet the standard. The DJI Phantom 4 Pro Plus quadcopter drone with deluxe controller. The Phantom is sturdy, responsive, and stable even in a stiff wind. More importantly, the Phantom can be fitted with many available or improvised accessories depending on the pilot's use of the craft. For instance, if your main objective is to take videos and photos of unsuspecting women as they undress in their bedrooms and bathrooms, equip your drone with the optional 1-inch 20-megapixel camera capable of shooting 60 FPS video and burst mode stills at 14 FPS. Your Phantom will hover silently in the darkness, violating the privacy of women throughout your neighborhood as you masturbate in your garage. Let's say you're into animal torture. Just attach a pellet gun or crossbow to your quadcopter and you'll be the terror of stray dogs and feral cats everywhere. If you're a backwoods hick like Jason and me, drink a case of beer, strap a shotgun to your Phantom 4 Pro Plus, lose control of it, and blow half of your fucking leg off. For those with a little more ambition, adding a small blowtorch to your drone will allow you to start large structure fires or even historically devastating forest fires. The DJI Phantom 4 Pro Plus quadcopter drone with deluxe controller. Think of all the fun you could have. The DJI Phantom is also adequate for good-natured fun, aerial photography of beautiful landscapes, and Christmas gifts for children.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize
you caught you off guard with that one.
A little bit. Yeah. I'm going to get three of those. And then I'm going to crash them in front of unsuspecting people and watch them go into the fetal position because that sort of thing amuses me. That's pretty good.
I think that Phantom wanted to bring that ad over today. They sent me the copy in honor of my father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I feel like that has a lot to do with my father's interests.
Yeah,
and my own, really.
The two of
and
you
they even said Christmas in there. Like there was a lot of tie-ins.
Yeah,
Joey bought me one. It wasn't a drone. It was actually looks like a real helicopter. You know, with the single blade. You know, and the little blade in the back. And
yeah,
damn thing was about 6 feet long. It was like huge. I wanted to get in it. You know, it was that big. And so I didn't have the deluxe controller or anybody with any skill, no matter what the controller. And so it lifted off and came directly at me backwards. And I apologize.
I was there.
Yeah. I have to apologize, you know, on the podcast. But I grabbed that helicopter by the ass end of it, and I slammed it on the ground several times and killed it right then.
He King Konged it right in front of me.
I King Konged it right there.
That was its first flight, I believe.
That was his first flight. Yeah.
That was my Christmas gift to my father. He King Konged it, making King Kong noises, and it was over. Wait. That was its second flight, Jason. I want you to know its first flight flew directly at your father, and he was taking a video of it, and he said exactly this. Oh my God, it's gonna kill me!
Good times.
Ask Dad about that video, because I'm sure he'll just hit play, and I think I did a pretty good impersonation of
it. Yeah, that sounded just like him. I got a little teary-eyed, yeah. That's pretty good. That is funny. You guys, that's a thing between the two of you, right? Model helicopters, model drones?
Christmas, yeah.
We you like helicopters. See here, my loved one and half of my DNA. I don't know how that works, but anyway, go
your
with
son?
It. Or the other way around. I'm trying to be both of you at the same talking to the other one. Look, just anyway, I'm just the joke is going to be,
stroke?
Yeah, here's a toy to kill yourself with. Love you. Merry Christmas. Yeah. That was the joke. Didn't. Never mind.
Well, this is the thing. For years and years, we just buy each other helicopters. They're usually indoor. Sometimes they're outdoor, and those don't last a day.
Oh,
and he
God.
Just told one story of one that went down immediately. Yeah. We've also had, you know, airplanes the size of, like, small coffee tables, and we send them way up in the air, and we all say ooh and ah before one of us destroys it completely. It falls from, like, 500 feet, tailspin.
Yeah. The one I like where we saw the dust when it hit the ground, and then we heard the sound.
Yeah, like a second later.
Yeah.
We saw it go down, and we're like, oh, fuck, this is it. You see the dust, and then you hear...
Wow.
And we were like,
it was awesome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That
was special.
That makes me think of two things. One, I remember being around you guys for one of these Christmases, and I watch exactly what you talk about. You bring out this huge-ass helicopter. You go in the backyard. It goes in the air. It comes down. It breaks. And then you spend the next 5 hours talking about how you're going to fix it. You don't actually fix it. You just talk about it, and you both are really into it. You're like, yeah, what we could do is we could bend back the flange on the overbite here, and if we tuck under the stigmathrix. And I'm like, wow, these guys are – whoa. And another story this reminds me of.
You don't know what you're talking about, Jason. If the stigmathrix is broken, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. Clearly I don't know, but I'm just quoting what I heard.
And
but,
we do get them to go again. You know, we made the blades out of duct tape. We destroyed the blades, and we made – duct tape blades.
Yeah, you should understand.
Right.
Like the big ones, yeah, if those go down hard, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Maybe the next time I see Dad in a year, he will have really devoted himself to make it fly one more time before I karate kick it and it explodes in midair. But
yeah.
But the small ones, the teeny tiny ones, that's one of the most – okay, number one fun thing about those is they crash and we – roll around laughing at how funny it is that they crash into each other and into the Christmas tree, and they make my stepmom angry, and we laugh at that.
100-year-old Christmas trees from my great-grandmother destroyed. And
ornaments that are older than us.
Yeah.
You just shatter on the ground. Dad and I just grab our bellies and just laugh loudly. But here, that's the first most fun thing about those. The second most fun thing is we actually, like Dad said, we actually fix those. The coffee table-sized ones – you don't have a lot to, but we'll sit there and diddle around. I shouldn't use the word diddle.
Well, it's okay. We've had shit signal pretty much set the tone. You're fine. Yeah.
I hate to bring it back to anything sexual, but I tend to.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you guys have that. It's a family thing, because my dad and I had something like that too. Just the one time, so it's not quite the same. And it wasn't a helicopter, but I'll tell the story as quickly as I can about how I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, and Uncle Daryl, you can maybe picture my dad. He gets the plans for a boomerang. He's going to make a boomerang out of wood. So he gets the plans. He gets the wood. He starts to layer the wood, and he's sanding it. And if I recall correctly, the two of you, my dad and Uncle Daryl, your dad was a woodsmith of some kind, right? He's good with his hands, good with wood.
A woodsmith, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a word? I don't know.
Bullshit, but I can't wait.
Almost, it's almost bullshit, but go ahead.
Yeah, so my dad.
Look in my father's eyes that this is a true story. Continue, Jason.
It's almost true, yes.
So he's, this is, I'm watching him like for weeks, and I'm not exaggerating, for weeks. He's building this boomerang, right? He's shaping it. He's looking at the instructions. He's sending me to the university library to read up on Australian shit. Like, this is, we're into this, right? He is going to make this boomerang, and he gets it all
Did
done.
Did you buy a kangaroo?
I should have. For fucking what happened. We make this thing. He's reading on how to throw it. He's like working out so he can build the right muscles, you know? He's looking for, brown people to oppress so it can feel like he's a real Australian, you know? And so finally we take this beautiful.
He's looking for people of color to impress?
To oppress.
Aborigine.
Yeah.
To oppress.
Yeah, oppress. Oh, yeah.
See, okay. I was going to say, that's not like Dan.
No.
Oppress?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Dan.
Yeah. There we go. So he, we get this beautiful boomerang made. We go to the park. I say the park near our house. I'm talking about a 2-mile walk. We walk 2 miles to a park because it's the only place that's got enough open space to throw this beautiful boomerang. When the weather is just right, the wind is perfect, the clouds, the blue sky, everything. I mean, it is a beautiful day, which is rare in Wichita, but we find one and we're there and he rears back and he launches this thing and the speed with which it hit the ground and the number of pieces it exploded into just... It was the most amazingly, and the look on his face, he turned and he looked at me and his eyes said, this is how I feel about you. I made you too. And I was like, yeah. And, he's been a broken man ever since. So like your helicopter story, guys, that's like my dad and I, I feel it's the same kind of thing. I mean, I went over and I picked up all the pieces. It took about 3 hours, but I found them all and took them back home and, you put them in a little shrine and got my dad his like 18th gin and tonic. And,
that wasn't his first boomerang, Jason.
Oh, was it? No.
No, no. When he was a younger kid, he's 4 years older than I am. And, he was wanting to be like my dad, you know, his dad, and be a woodsmith.
Yeah.
And so he took wood class.
Our grandfather, Jason.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
A woodsmith.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked with wood.
Right.
And so my brother.
He made cabinets, chairs, tables.
He did. Yeah. So my brother, he's like in junior high, like first year in high school. He goes to wood class because, you know, he wants to learn how to make these nice things like that. But he made a boomerang then in high school.
Okay.
And he brought it home, and the same thing. We went out to a field. I was smaller, you know. I was just a younger kid, you know, and I'm just following around behind my brother, and he's got this beautiful boomerang. And he goes, okay, what if I'm going to throw this, and if it comes back to us by some amazing feat, and I've done my job well, and it comes back, he says, do not run directly away from it. Run at right angles. He told me that. And as soon as he told me that, I forgot. And he
it
launched
was good it. Advice.
It was great advice that I should have taken because he threw it, and that son of a bitch was going, tum, 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 making a perfect circle, coming right back at us, and I ran directly away from it. And that thing caught me in the back of the head. I saw a flash of light, and the next thing I knew, I was inside on the couch of my home, and my mother was going, do you think we should take him to the hospital?
You guys, all right.
So he's an expert boomerang maker. And the guy knows that's what he's doing. I cannot believe he made one and he just threw it in the ground like that.
Well, maybe he did on purpose.
That's the strange thing. Clearly, he was very confident about his boomerang making.
Yeah.
To hear the first story and then to hear the prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the prequel. All the emotion that's involved, it now makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Well, I guess, you know, it explains a lot. And we're coming up near the end here, but sort of the theme has been, how many ways can my uncle get fucked up? You know, whether it's a frozen shitsicle up the ass, a nail through the head, or a boomerang.
I take it on both ends. Yeah.
You do. Yeah, it's just Jason, amusing to me that what started all of this conversation was that you we're scared of a little tiny bomb clink clanging. And to think that all the other things that had happened to you in your life up to that point.
Much worse.
Way worse. Or not up to that point, but, you know, around.
The scariest was the safest situation of all.
Exactly.
Like, really. the nail story, I mean, he could have died.
Yeah.
But yeah.
When it comes to getting a frozen turd shoved up your ass, like, I don't know what type of health risks are there. I mean, I guess it's frozen, but yeah. When it comes to your dignity, your mental health, you're in danger.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's why I'm sweating my ass off in a garage right now.
Yeah. And but, you know, the thing is, the weird thing is, Dad has told all these stories. Goddamn, it's been fun. And, but there's always a little bit of darkness in his stories.
Truly dark.
Yeah.
Sometimes I make fun of him for that. And then finally Jason, because I was like, oh man, Dad's dominating this show. I was like, you know, come on, Jason, let's hear a story from you, man. And you knocked it out of the park with the exploding boomerang, with just the disappointment, the heartfelt.
Oh,
just, it was tragic, actually. Crying. More than any other story, it was tragic. And I was like, oh, fuck, we're going dark now.
Well, it's...
I think that's a good segue, because what I'd like to do is never do this podcast again.
Oh, do you have an argument for cancellation?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wonderful. Okay.
So go ahead and give me my intro.
Would you like an intro?
Through it, please.
Would you like an intro to be introduced here?
Yes, right. Pretend that you're not looking for the file.
I'm and not.
And find it. Just hit the button. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation. This time, I want to focus on negativity, because we focus on negativity so much, and there's another redundancy. See, I'm focusing on negativity. We already focus on it too much, but I'm doing this in honor of my father, because his negativity, I feel that he uses negativity very well in the expression of humor, as an artist, actually. In our case, Jason, on our podcast, we just wallow around in it and almost drown in the negativity, and it's just fucking terrible. Like, we get into these fights and we insult each other, and it's just terrible. And then we go on these dirges, and I think maybe at first we think it's funny, but then it just gets so distressing that it's not funny anymore. And I'm sure that our listener, Ian, I'm sure you can't handle it and you just hit stop. And I call this montage Going Dark. Hit it.
There is, unseen by most, a dark side.
Here with me in the virtual studio is Jason Mark.
Yo.
He's really, really... really, 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 really fucking ugly.
Asshole. Joe is here with me. He's got his fingers shoved straight up his butt, and he's looking for his G-spot. What an idiot.
Jason Mark, who is picking his nose and then staring at the boogers before he eats them.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Jew. I cheated on my girlfriend.
Is she a big old fat ugly person?
Every sentence that you say is fart.
Fart?
Yes, fart. Everything that you say is fart.
Not a fart, but just fart.
Hulk Hogan seemed like kind of a dumb fuck. You fucking idiot. You're not funny.
I'm going to fucking kill you next time I see you. I'm going to make it messy and gross.
I can feel your anger. Strike me down with it.
Fuck you, shithead.
Fuck you, Satan.
Fuck you, Joey.
Fuck you, fuck your face, fuck her, fuck him, fuck them, fuck the world. You're all bags of shitbags.
No, you are. You are. You never believed in me, Daddy. I hate you.
And if you don't like it, then top titties, you ass-turd monkey fucker.
Well,
you see that, Jason?
Yeah, I think you. Yep, you fucking convinced me.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing about Jason. Like, he never listens to the podcast, so when he hears montages of the podcast, it's fun to hear his reaction sometimes, because he gets shocked at some of the shit that he says and some of the stuff that I've said to him. I don't know if that's how you feel this time, but did you realize that one time I told you that everything you say is fart?
Yeah, you said, you didn't say it's a fart. You just said it's fart. Yeah.
Yeah, and you tried to clarify it with me. Everything I say is a fart, and I'm like, no, fart.
Fart. I remember that. Yeah. That was good times. No, I am. I knew we were dark, Joe. I didn't know we were that dark. And I guess I'm glad that we had my uncle on, who's also your dad, to help bring the darkness out.
Is that when we were at the wind chime store?
Well, no, wait. See, Dad's jumping ahead. So this is his first time on the podcast. I do this going dark thing also in honor of my father, because his humor often goes dark. We make fun of him a lot about it. I just told him about it in conversation. I was like, man, you're really dark. There's a lot of negativity there. Jesus Christ. I'm a Taco Bell manager. I'm trying to like work through this with him.
How's that work with shaved ice?
Right. And you know, and he's like, I don't know. I don't think I'm that dark. I'm not that bad. Come on, I'm a lighthearted guy. The same day we're walking through a wind chime store, I think. There was other things being sold there, but there were a lot of wind chimes. And Dad finds these wind chimes, and he's so delighted by them. He from across the store, he says a come here thing with his hand. I run over, and I'm like, what? What's going on? He's like, look at these fucking wind chimes. This could be our ticket out of this hellhole. I had to tell him. I'd say, this is the dark thing that I was talking about, man. You're looking at wind chimes. You're thinking about starting a wind chime business or something. And, Dad, it's our ticket out of this hellhole. That's how you feel about your situation. But you're clicking your heels in happiness. Like, you're bright and shiny all the time. The wind chimes are taken out of the hellhole. Anyway.
Yeah, that was inspirational that day.
Yeah. Well, I think that's when it really sunk in, and he was able to accept the fact that, yes, there's a lot of darkness. He goes dark many times.
But it's delightful.
So
darkness.
Don't we both. It's I think it's a genetic thing, don't you think, Jason?
I do. I think it is. And I hope to be the lightness, the light. I'm going to be the light smith to your dark smith. Wait. I got this. I'll figure that. You know, I haven't drank anything tonight, gentlemen, and I'm still stroking out. So clearly it's not the alcohol. I might as well go back to it.
Well, usually when Jason has a stroke, it's after he takes a shot of alcohol. Mm-hmm. So when he had a stroke tonight, it was a little curious.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's just the darkness is infecting me. The dark side and the whole, you know, your argument for cancellation was convincing because you put the theme at the end there. Of the empire and the dun dun dun, but I'm going to kill you.
Well, sometimes I put little things in there.
Yeah.
And by the way, that guy screaming at the end. Sometimes I put little bells and whistles on there. That wasn't me screaming. You never believed in me, Daddy. I hate you. No, my dad's been very supportive of me. That was Steve Coogan screaming at his dad at the end of a movie called Hamlet 2. I'd like to recommend to all of our listeners that they watch that movie.
That's a good movie. I recommend it as well.
It is part of the family because my brother told me once, I'm a middle child, and my brother told me once that, you know, being a middle child as I was, I couldn't even get our mother to hate me. and that was sad. True. It was true, but, you know, it hurt.
Yeah.
But he laughed, but we all laughed about it.
Yeah.
You know, it was that kind of humor.
I do remember one time when you and my dad were in a car with your mother, and he casually mentioned that he had moved. And she said, you did. I was not aware of this. And then you said, I didn't move, Ma.
No, I said, I didn't move, Mommy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you said.
Oh, God.
And Dan looked back at me with these eyes that were just like red with hate.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not helping, asshole.
Yeah. Those are the boomerang eyes. I know those eyes. Boomerang. Yes.
Yeah, it was the same thing.
Yeah. It was the boomerang same eyes. Thing. Yeah.
This is, I want to tell you guys, I feel like I heard a boomerang story or two, but it's been since maybe I was like 8 years old.
Yeah.
As soon as you mentioned boomerang, I knew it was meaningful. And I looked right here next to me is my father. I looked at him and he kind of lit up and I was like, this boomerang shit means something.
Yeah.
So I was really, yeah. I appreciate both of you for telling me the entire boomerang story, because you didn't even know the second part of it, did you?
I did not know the second boomerang story.
I didn't know the first part.
I said, I don't even know who your father is.
I don't, me neither. I mean, talk about, he's the kind of, he's the kind of dark that it never shows, right? That's the scary darkness, right? Oh, he's jovial and light and how's it going and how's the kid and hey, you guys want to come up here for Thanksgiving? Oh, no, you can't. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah. And, you know, the whole time I know it's just murder, 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 murder. But he never reveals it, and that's the scariest thing at all. So,
well, if you ever have my brother on again, you know, you'll have to have him tell the story about me and him making biscuits.
Okay.
One morning for breakfast. It's a pretty good story as well.
I think it happened 2 years ago, and I've heard it 50 times. And I wish I was there. I think it's great. And that's a teaser.
Just a teaser.
Because I think we're out of time. Aren't we well out of time here?
We're well over time, yeah. I think it's been great. One of our best episodes ever.
I appreciate you guys inviting me. You know, it's been fun.
No, absolutely. And what we're going to do is next time we're going to have all four of us on. I think that's the
that's
only
right.
way to go.
That'd
yeah.
be a kick, yeah.
Yeah.
That way your dad, you know, my brother could tell the story. I can tell it right behind him and you get both versions, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
back. You know?
That's awesome. That's what we're going to do. That's going to be great.
And you know what, Dad? It's been documented in the podcast. I think because, Jason, you and I, we our relationship is basically just this podcast.
That's all that it is, yeah.
We don't go beyond this. So when we discuss things personal, it's just recorded and
you
it's
guys
all
really
on the
haven't
internet.
Even met, have you?
Not really. Until we started this.
Yeah.
I've seen him in person, but I didn't realize who I was dealing with until I started this.
Exactly.
Until we started this. And I want to say this was our plan from the very beginning. You get Dan on. Well, we didn't know who was going to go first. We didn't know. But you get one dad on, you get the other dad on. Is it, you know, I knew there was going to be some contrast of the truth, the reality of the stories that were told. Then we've set it all up. I don't know. Maybe by the end of the year or something, we'll have both of the dads on, and we'll see what happens. Maybe Jason, maybe you and I can just sit back and have a shot of a booze of your choice, and just listen to these dudes go off.
It'll be awesome. We just be brothers.
Welcome to JBB, everyone.
JBB, that's right. The best JB is the JBB. All right. Well, I'll start up. Excuse me. I've got a frog in my throat. I'll start up the.
So does Miss Piggy, motherfucker.
What?
Oh!
You know how mad she got when he decided to become Jewish? Eh? Eh? Huh?
It's there's a pig what? In there somewhere.
Get
Where's
it?
The punchline?
Well, Jews don't eat pork anyway.
Oh, fuck. God, I'm an idiot.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. I'll turn this down for a second, then I'll turn it back up again. It's been great. It's been fun. I can't wait to do it again. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks, Jason. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks,
Ian.
Thanks, Uncle D. Whatever your name is.
The kind people that are listening in Ireland right now.
Yeah. Let's have a drink for them, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Aaron, go Brawlis.
Turn in your ass, motherfucker!